You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Homefield Apparel.
Welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers completed a four-game winning streak to end the regular season, defeating the Michigan State Spartans 65-64 in a way that was eerily reminiscent of the way they beat Michigan State to close their four-game win streak at the end of the 2019 season. You may remember that was the year that Rob Phinisee defended Cassius Winston into the corner and he missed a shot, and today's
game...
We were there, and today's game ended the same way, with Tyson Walker dribbling into the corner and Xavier Johnson and Anthony Leal combining to help force a miss on a guy who had a terrific day, but that shot bounces out. Khalil Ware taps the ball twice, and it eventually ends up in Xavier Johnson's hand, and the Hoosiers win the game 65-64. We'll break it all down because it was a wild game of runs. But the bottom line is Indiana wins. The Hoosiers are now 18-13. They finished 10-10 in conference play, and they will be either the sixth or seventh seed in the Big Ten tournament, depending on what happens tonight between Illinois and Iowa. If Iowa wins, Indiana will be seventh. If Iowa loses, Indiana will be sixth. And of course, we've got a lot to talk about from the senior speeches as well, as a couple of Hoosiers announced that they will be returning. So lots to discuss. I'm your host, Jared Morris, here with the coach Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips, ready to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And let's start it the way we start every show, and that is with our banner moment. And look, we'll talk about the banner moment from the game, but I think a very important banner moment happened during the senior speeches when Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway both announced that they will be coming back. So two huge building block pieces, you know, for this program, just in terms of experience and culture and everything that they bring to the table, which will really be helpful now as Indiana goes out and obviously tries to rebuild its roster moving forward. You know, for those who were fearful of a mass exodus of players, seeing those two guys return for their COVID years starts to put some of that, put your mind at ease a little bit as far as that goes. So talk about that more as we go. But when we're talking about the game, I mean, the banner moment is the final sequence. You know, it's 64-64. Xavier Johnson finds a rolling Khalil Ware with a nice little pocket pass. Khalil gets fouled. He has missed four free throws in a row, you know, coming into this, and really hadn't shot any of them with confidence. He steps up, misses his fifth free throw, just needs to make one to give Indiana the lead. And I mean, Khalil had such a great day, you know, overall, and he drains that last one. It gives Indiana the 65-64 lead, fitting that he would be the one to score the winning points. And then that defensive play that I mentioned earlier, you know, Xavier Johnson gets the assignment of Tyson Walker with Trey Galloway hurt. He fights through a screen, forces Walker to the baseline. Anthony Leal leaves his man to provide help, helps to contest the shot. Tyson Walker misses it. Indiana wins 65-64. Two seniors on the final play. What could have been Anthony Leal's final play at Assembly Hall, but what definitely was Xavier Johnson's final play at Assembly Hall. And X does, you know, what was, you know, in that sequence, he did the two things that X brought when he was playing well for this Indiana team, which is creating and getting an assist on offense and playing good on-ball defense, forcing a miss on defense. It was an up-and-down day for Xavier Johnson. It's been an up-and-down career for Xavier Johnson. But with his teammate on the bench, Trey Galloway, X had a good second half and made winning plays at the end to help Indiana secure this victory. All right, let's talk now about our presenting sponsor. All right, our banner moment, as always, brought to you by our friends at Homefield Apparel, now in their seventh season sponsoring the Assembly Call and a third as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And hope that you've been keeping tabs on what they're doing, whether it's following them on Twitter, you know, getting their app, subscribing to their email newsletter. They've got third month madness happening right now where they've got all kinds of fun new college basketball items that they're rolling out. Jerseys and shooting shirts, and they've got some special deals now with the mystery fleeces and mystery hoodies. There's always something going on there. And plus, they have the largest selection of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere, like the shirt that I am wearing today. Busted out my Indiana 1993 Big Ten Champion shirt. to keep that home field magic going. But, you know, whether you're looking to support the football team or the men's basketball team or the women's basketball team, soccer, they've got something for so many different sports and so many different colleges and universities. And that's why Home Field Apparel is such a great one-stop shop, whether you're looking for stuff for yourself, for friends or family members. They're going to have something there, and it's going to look nice, and it's going to be comfortable, and it's going to be high quality, and you're supporting an Indiana-based company in Home Field. So go to homefieldapparel.com, use our promo code HOME23, and you will get 15% off your entire first order. Again, the website homefieldapparel.com, HOME23 for the discount, wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Coach, over to you first. It's Tonsoni time. Your thoughts on this Indiana victory?
It was a hard-fought victory today with the game of runs. Really nice to see the start. Indiana hit four threes right off the bat. They've been playing with better pace lately, and the better pace was able to get them out to a lead. And you always knew that Michigan State was going to make a run, and they did. And then Michigan State takes a lead late, and Indiana was able to handle that adversity and to claw back in and make plays down the stretch. Really, really happy for the seniors, especially Leo, the senior who's coming back on their last game. You always want to go out victorious. And Indiana has seemed to find some of the things that they need to play winning basketball. And I thought tonight was a defensive effort more than anything on the offensive end. I thought they were real, real connected all night long. Tyson Walker got loose. That's just a credit to that young man. And you know, you're playing against Izzo, so he goes in at halftime. He's going to do some adjustments, make some adjustments, and they got him going. But Indiana then locked down again defensively. And I think the key to all of this going forward in the next year is defense. And it took a long time for this team maybe to get locked in defensively, and that has to be better going forward. But today was a defensive win. I think you've seen that in the last three or four games, that Indiana's defense is back to where – not back, I don't want to say that, but it's a heck of a lot better than what it has been for the, you know, 26 games prior – 27 games prior, and that's, you know, a night when offensively Indiana really wasn't that good, points per possession, but their defense was better. So that's how you win games, you know, if you're not going to be super efficient offensively. And so, yeah, good. It's a good win. It's always good to win.
Always. Ryan, your thoughts on this IU victory?
Yeah, look, finishing the season on a four-game winning streak, and we talked about this after the last two wins, it's, you know, there's a lot going on with the program we all know about. We've talked about it, the future, trying to figure out what's next. Although Mike Woodson's going to be back, what's next? And that doesn't take away from the fact that they've gone on quite a run at the end of the year, and they've beaten some teams that are a little, you know, down, but they're beating the teams that they're not favored to beat. I mean, you know, you look at KenPom before each of these games, they are not picked to win these games, and they've won all four. And I think that, you know, you have to respect the effort, and you have to respect what they've done, particularly defensively. And to do it today, to be up 20-15 and have Trey Galloway go out. And I think everybody in the fan base was like, oh no, because I'll say this. I know a lot of people have given Xavier Johnson's return credit for this turnaround. I don't see that. I think Xavier has been good. Don't get me wrong. And he helps them defensively. Certainly this has been about Trey Galloway really coming into his own. And it's been about Mackenzie Mbako turning up the heat on both ends of the floor as well. And then sort of around that, everybody else settling in a bit. And once, you know, because those guys are taking so much of the load away from other people, that's been the change for me. And so when Trey goes out, you know, he's been the guy driving the train offensively. And you know, you have to find out a way to find points basically after that, because he's the one directing everything. And so I credit to those guys for figuring it out. And you saw the beginning of the second half when they probably at halftime found out he wasn't going to be back. That really seemed to take the air out of the balloon for a little bit. And Michigan State really played very well coming out of half. Tyson Walker, man, that guy's a stud, like an absolute freaking stud. And he went off. And they were able, as you said, Coach, though, they took that punch. What did they get down, like seven at one point? And
seven,
they were able to take that punch and refocus, attack through Khalil Ware. Malik Renew had some had a really great stretch in there as well, and were able to sort of chip away. And Mbako hit a big shot at one point. So they just kind of were able to chip back away and not get discouraged, as they were probably already discouraged from one of their senior leaders going out. They're able to refocus, played better. I thought Anthony Leal stepped in and gave some great minutes in the second half as well. So you got to be happy about it. I mean, this is what we do this for, is to watch this team win and to get four in a row to finish the season. I know in some respects it feels like, why couldn't we have done this 3 games earlier and maybe had, you know, a secure spot in the tournament or something? But be happy with the wins, be happy with the way they played. And then we got some pretty great news during the senior speeches, which I think was a little telegraphed, but we got the news, and I love the way that both those guys did it.
Absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned, and look, we're going to obviously stick to the game here for at least the first couple segments. You know, you mentioned when Indiana got down 7. I mean, Indiana starts off the game so well, right? Up that 20-5 lead. Trey Galloway, what did he miss? Like 10 or 11 3-pointers in a row. He took that first one, and you could tell he knew it was going in. And I just thought, as soon as that shot went in, okay, we are rolling today. And they were. And obviously that injury, you know, kind of derailed things a little bit, understandably so, given just the crazy amount that has been on Trey Galloway's shoulders. But credit to the guys for, you know, being able to turn it back around. And, you know, you remember when they did get down 7, Coach, they went to Khalil Ware, and he made a big play. And the story of today, you know, from a game perspective, was just how good Khalil Ware is. And how good he was. 28 points, 12 rebounds, 2 block shots, play after play after play. I mean, there was a stretch there in the second half where just nothing's happening offensively, and it's basically, hey, Khalil or Malik, you got to go get us a bucket. And those guys are good enough that they were able to do it some. And so just, you know, your thoughts on Khalil, and then Ryan, I want to bring you in because you had an interesting tweet about him during the game from someone that you talked to. But, Coach, your thoughts on Khalil's performance today.
Well, first of all, there were 2 timeouts that Coach Woodson took, and they went right into the post. And that was good. That was timely. That's when you need to go into the post. When you know, the game gets out of stretch, you go to your best players, you call timeout, you make sure that they go in there. And I think they scored once, might have missed that. But then so one, that's where that comes from. And then obviously you had an advantage. And what Ware has done really nice lately is he's not trying to go through people and attack through people. He is using his stride to get space, and he's mastered that little turnaround post move jumper instead of trying to turn through the shoulders of a defender, because he's just not strong enough to do that. And he doesn't have all of the moves to get around someone, but he does have that move, that long stride step to the middle turnaround jumper. You see, sometimes he doesn't take that step and he twists in the air, and that's when he misses. He's got, you know, I liked a lot. It's like a drop step, only it's away from the basket drop step to create space. He's 7'2". He can elevate, and then he's got a buttery little jump shot right there. That's where his game. And Indiana's used him better in the last 4 games. They've used him on the rim run lobs a lot. He's been able and encouraged to shoot the 3, or at least he's comfortable shooting the 3. He's not hesitating, and he's been able to catch in the short roll. So Indiana, credit, has in the last 3 or 4 games gotten him in positions to succeed, and the young man has just simply taken over.
Ryan?
Yeah, I got an unprompted text from an NBA scout I'm friendly with, and he just said Ware is absolutely roasting Michigan State's big men, and they just said lottery pick. And I mean, that's a guy who his draft stock, you know, before this year, you saw him on some first round things in mock draft just based on potential, I think, but he's lived up to it this year. And I think he's certainly an all conference player. I don't know where on the teams he's going to fall, but he's become an all conference player just statistically. Even, you know, you can't keep that away from him. But really grabbing, I mean, the free throws, come on, buddy. He got to get those. But he was kind of carrying so much of the load. His legs were probably a little heavy late, especially.
He was really shooting without confidence, too. Like, he was holding on the ball a little bit longer and leaning forward more than
I know. He was shooting with more confidence from the 3-point line the 2 times he took 3s than he was at the line. So,
but he made the big one, man. I mean, to miss 5.
I didn't think he was going to make
one with the game on the line. No, credit to him for that, man.
He missed the first one. I'm like, the second one is not going in. Like, it, just because it was going to be in his head so much. So credit to him to make it, and it kind of slid in on the side, and we're good, man. Makes a make. But yeah, this is a guy who the NBA is certainly paying attention to. I think that honestly, them paying attention to Ware has helped McKenzie and Bacco, because they've started to focus in a lot more recently, and Bacco's been playing really well. And so I asked him about Bacco, and he said right now he's a second round pick in for me. Is what he said. And, you know, but he's the arrow's pointing up, and, you know, good workouts. I assume Mbako's going to at least do the, you know, put his name in and do the workouts and stuff. because there's no downside to doing that, especially from a former five-star who everybody expected, if he had a good season, to be gone. So he'll do that, and maybe he'll pop a little in those. But I think a lot of people think that he'd be best served to come back. But, you know, you can develop really fast in a place like the G League or whatever, where you're a professional getting to play every day. So we've certainly seen McKenzie, his trajectory over the last month basically is just a rocket straight up for his ability, not necessarily for the draft, but for his ability. And I think people are starting to catch on to that. So he and Khalil both just been great.
Yeah. Well, you know, and coach, I thought it was really noticeable, especially early in the game, how aggressive McKenzie was. I mean, really hunting shots and hunting opportunities. And I don't say that in a bad way. That's what you want your most talented perimeter scorer to do. You know, now we didn't see him driving quite as much today. He was a little bit more willing to settle for the jumpers, you know, and wasn't as efficient, 5 of 13, 3 of 9 from 3. But just him being that aggressive is really important for this team, you know, especially if, when you've got Cups out there who's, you know, not very aggressive looking for a shot. Same with Leal. You've got to have someone, you know, like Mbako in doing that. And that's a big part of the reason why his production has gone up so much here down the stretch. So, you know, you're going to have some ups and downs with him efficiency wise, but he continues to show, I think, the evolution of his mentality, you know, down the stretch here, that has really been a big part of this winning streak.
And for me, it has nothing to do with offense or stats. I thought he's going to probably get my Hustle Award because of his stance on defense, and he's not great on that end, but he is more locked in, more effort, in a better position than he was. He used to just stand up at the beginning, first half of the season, and just kind of take strides. Now he is down, and he is fighting hard on drives, even when he gets driven. He had 6 rebounds tonight. The offensive rebound he got was unbelievable effort to go over, and I think we scored on that maybe, or I can't remember now.
He got the rebound through 3 guys and then scored.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the kind of hustle behind – the stats that I like to see from a player. You know, when you're a scorer, you're going to have nights where you shoot a high percentage. You're going to have nights where you don't. The other thing that I like is how hard he's moving to catch the basketball. And when he does drive, he's driving with the purpose. His game has not, it's not slow. The first half he was slow in all aspects of the game. Now he's not thinking, he's playing. And I thought that set the tone in a lot of these games. His effort sets the tone, sprinting down the floor to get open for threes in transition. He is, you know, wear and renew, obviously, and we've talked about Gallo. But I think, you know, really for me, it's the non-offensive things, stats, that McKenzie has really bought into and has improved over the year.
Yeah, I think the lack of driving just had a lot to do with how – you know, and this is every Michigan State team every year, it feels like. They're very strong and they're very athletic, so it's hard. A guy at his size, you know, McKenzie doesn't have the quickest first step. He's not going to get on, you know, around to somebody's side. He's going to have to beat them with rotation and things like that. And Michigan State was really good at stopping that today. So I think that's why you've seen him driving a lot more lately and you didn't see it as much today. I think it was just simply there wasn't the room and there wasn't the first step to go. But I agree with Coach. I thought that his activity level, especially in the first half, was outstanding on both ends. And then you saw it in the second half go in waves. But again, freshman against a very strong athletic team, you're going to see that go in waves. That's not a disappointment. That's just the reality of the situation. So I thought he was great today. And I thought that, you know, the points weren't as high as some other games in his shooting. He was 3 of 9 for 3, not what it's been recently, but I didn't see a whole lot of negative in his game. I really didn't. And you know, 4 turnovers. But again, how many of those really hurt Indiana? Not a whole lot. So you kind of roll with it. Again, it's a young guy. And it's we've seen him on the court so much so far. It's hard to forget. It's easy to forget that he is a freshman.
You know, I'll tell you, Coach, I really thought one of the other big keys to this game was Indiana's transition defense, because they turned the ball over a ton. I mean, Indiana turns it over 16 times. Now, they balance it out with 18 assists. You know, not quite the rebalancing that they had against Minnesota when they had 28 assists. You know, but they still, you know, the ball was moving. They were sharing it. Some of those turnovers at the end of the first half and the start of the second half were, you know, really, really bad passes, kind of lazy passes. You know, and throughout the game, you know, they made a few plays of just kind of being overly aggressive. But I thought their ability to get back in transition and just challenge what Michigan State was trying to do prevented Michigan State from getting, you know, some otherwise easy buckets. You know, Gabe Cupps had one play in transition in the first half that comes to mind. Several other guys did too. You know, so if you're going to turn it over like that, you have to be ready to get on the other end and challenge what the other team is doing. You know, and so Indiana finishes with 9 fast break points. Michigan State finishes with just 7. And I think that goes to your point of this was a game where the defense won it for Indiana. You know, especially with Trey only playing the amount of minutes that he's going to play, you know, putting up 65 points with Trey playing, how many minutes did he end up playing? With Trey 7. Playing 7 minutes, you know, that's not terrible. That's not
plus
terrible 15 output.
15 in 7 minutes, too.
Yeah. And you know, so that's not terrible output for this team offensively when you're trying to lean on Gabe Cupps and a struggling Xavier Johnson to kind of run your offense for you. So the defense had to clamp down, and not only did they do it in half-court settings, but I thought the transition defense was a hidden key in why they won this game.
Yeah, it's just they were hustling all over the court, stopping dribble penetration. They Izzo went to a middle ball screen action and forced Indiana into trying to guard that, and that's where Walker – and then they ran a little pin-down action on the far side where he came off a screen and would catch on the right wing and where he hit some threes. And then Indiana adjusted by taking that away because they put some ball pressure on in a variety of places. And it's somewhat surprising because you usually have X and Trey out there wreaking havoc on the guards, and you only had X. You know, so you lost not only the assist from Trey, you lost some of that ability. And Leo fights like heck, and Mbako fights like heck in Cups, but they're not as fast as Trey and X combined together. So that's really a good it was just a really good defense. No easy baskets. Michigan State was earning it when they took the lead, and then Indiana found a way to shut them down again. Part of that is that transition defense and that recognition of hustling back. You know, on those fast breaks. If you limit Michigan State's fast break points, you're going to have a chance to win the game, and that's kind of the key.
I mean, you talk about Leo. There was a play in the first half. It was 28-16, and Michigan State's in transition, and they get it down on the left wing, and Anthony Leo challenged 2 shooters. He got out to the one guy, forced a pass, and was quick enough to get to the other guy and prevent a shot from happening. And then later on in that possession, they missed a shot. Ware gets the rebound, and that's the play where he had that beautiful outlet pass to Malik Renew. That I mean, it's a tough catch and completion for Renew, but what do you notice? And it was more noticeable on the replay. Leal was sprinting all the way down. So if Malik had missed the shot, he was going to be there to make it. And I thought there were a lot of those plays. I thought Cupps had a ton of those plays in the first sequence of the game. You know, whether it was in transition or just making a little thing play, being in the right place, hustling. That's some of the stuff we didn't see early in the season, Ryan. You know, and you mentioned, you know, kind of the frustration of, man, why don't you just do this earlier in the season? You know, because I think Indiana and Michigan State now have the same record. Their record, and I think against quad two teams, is pretty similar. The big difference is, you know, Michigan State, and Coach, you can probably speak to this better, they got a couple bigger victories, and they played better against the bad teams, and, you know, and even in their losses against good teams, you know, they competed, you know, closer than Indiana did. And so Indiana just dug themselves such a big hole just on kind of a per possession basis, you know, in the metrics, that it's been impossible for them to dig themselves out of it. But, and part of it is because we didn't see some of those things consistently that I feel like we've seen over these last 4 games. And that's the kind of stuff on a day like today, when your offense isn't quite there, that can really help carry you to victory. That's just the thought I'm tossing to you.
No, It is. Indiana's played well. They've caught some teams at the right moment. You know, Wisconsin fell from a 2 to a 6 or 7 seed. We beat them in that downward stretch. Michigan State's fallen from a 6 to an 11. We've found them when they've lost 5 out of 6. So I don't want to be negative on a night like that, but you have caught some teams in that situation.
The schedule lined Indiana, up.
But you still got to beat, and you're still not favored, and you still have to beat them, and they're still trying to win games to improve. But I will tell everyone, Indiana is not going to the NCAA tournament unless they win the Big Ten. They were 95th in the net coming into today. There's just not enough time to improve the metrics and their quality of their wins. If you look at raw numbers, you'll see 3 wins in quad one, 4 wins in quad one now, and you want to match that up. And 18 and 13, same record as Michigan State. Why are they in when Indiana's beat them? I get it all the time, and I don't mean to be rude. Indiana has to win the Big Ten tournament because, Jared, they did dig themselves a huge hole. And yes, the injuries and X being out, all of that is taken into account. But they won some games without X. They've lost some games with X. All of those things are looked at. And so, again, today's a day to celebrate with the seniors and a four game. I don't want to get into all that, but I do want to make sure there's some questions, obviously, people have. Four-game winning streak's nice, but it's really not enough to move the needle for the NCAA tournament. Let's get to the NIT. The NIT is in Indianapolis. Win a couple games in NIT, play in your home state in the Final Four in the NIT. That would be a great way to salvage a tough season. And then maybe we all can, you know, put everything aside and get back. But I think that's where this thing is headed. And that would be fun then, too, in Hinkle to try to win an NIT. If you want to have some hope and believe and go positive, go that direction, I would suggest. Or hope that he win the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, I mean, just to put it in perspective for people, a four game winning streak's great. We're not, I don't think we're dumping on that. But they were 12-5 and then lost 8-10 before this four game winning streak. So I mean, you kind of gotta if you body of work. Yeah, and if you intersperse those wins in that streak, it doesn't look as impressive. You know, I mean, so you kind of have to understand. You're right. It is a full body of work in a full season. It's not how are you playing lately. It's your entire body of work, and that's the way they consider it. And if you wanted to say, well, who's the hottest team in the Big Ten right now? Indiana would probably be in the top four, five of the hottest teams in the Big Ten right now. But that's not what determines if you go to the NCAA tournament or not. It's your whole schedule, and so that's why back in November and December, we were sounding the alarm on these close wins against bad teams and then getting blown out by good teams. That's why you talk about it then. And you do say, well, hopefully they'll be together in January and can start, chipping away to even those metrics out. And they didn't do it. They left it until way too late. And so really, they don't have anyone to blame but themselves by being in this position. It's nice to see. Don't get me wrong. But when you lose four in a row to Purdue, Northwestern, Nebraska, and Penn State, and then you rip off the four-game winning streak, it's, you have put yourself in such a hole that it doesn't really matter. So, hey, you know what? You want to go to the NCAA tournament? Win the Big Ten tournament. It's right in front of you. You can do it. You control your own destiny. Yeah, it's going to be tough, but you do control your own destiny, the NCAA tournament, just like every other team entering a conference tournament does. Go win the Big Ten tournament. I mean, I know there are people listening to this on the podcast who are just going to roll their eyes because of Indiana's history in the Big Ten tournament. But if you really want to go to the NCAA tournament that badly, you have the talent to do it, go do it. And if you don't, hey, you're going to go to the NIT and likely I'd say go to the NIT and go do that. And don't turn your nose up at it. It's more games for these guys, more games for the younger guys. It's more games for players who are going to be back. You know, your seniors get a few more games, like just do it. The whole idea of turning your nose up at the NIT is really stupid for me.
I agree with
that.
And,
I wouldn't be surprised if Indiana wins a couple games in the tournament. They're hot and they're playing better. They're more connected defensively. They're getting out and running and they're doing things. I wouldn't be surprised. They have to play the sixth seed. That would be best to play the 11, has to play the night before. You win that game and then go play the third team. So you miss that next game is not Illinois and not Purdue. It's I think it's Wisconsin maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen the bracket. So, the way Indiana's playing, it's a lot more believable than ever because they've put this four-game winning streak together. But it's just there's a lot of teams to jump
Trey's
over. There's a lot of –
Well, if there's ever a year – Oh, wait, if there's ever a year to win the Big Ten tournament, it's going to be a year where it's down like it is this year.
Right, I mean, right. And be hot.
You can match up with teams. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I appreciate Indiana has like 40 teams they have to jump, not just two teams in the Big Ten. I mean, they got to jump Big West teams, SEC teams, ACC teams. So when you compare, don't just compare to the Big Ten team above them. Or how many wins they'll get in the Big Ten, or a 21-game winning Big Ten team. It's an NCAA tournament with all these teams. And I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm just saying that so there's a little bit of understanding of how the selection is. Indiana is way, way, way away from the NCAA tournament unless they win it.
Thanks for taking all the fun out of it, bracketologists. We could just be sitting here hoping.
You asked.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right, coming up here as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's one-point victory over Michigan State on Senior Day, we'll point out today's meaningful moments you might have missed, talk a little bit of numbers, and a lot more. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. You know, I have never listened to the assembly call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
We're not going to talk soon, Gene.
Him ad-libbing, take care, we'll talk soon, this is the funniest moment. I love that. You're listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with the coach Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips. We are breaking down Indiana's win over Michigan State, and it's time to talk meaningful moments.
Meaningful moments that you might have missed.
This segment brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. Guys, for the meaningful moment, I'm going to go to the second half, late in the second half, when Indiana was really playing a lot through Malik Renew. You know, I think one of the things that has been a little bit frustrating about Malik here during the second half of Big Ten play especially is, you know, you love Malik's confidence, you love his ability to make tough challenge shots in the post, but, you know, the flip side of that is sometimes it feels like Malik almost has too much confidence in that ability and gets tunnel vision and doesn't kind of see what opportunities the double team is providing. And so there were two plays, you know, pretty close to each other that I thought really showed the difference. And again, you know, they came, you know, later in the second half. I don't have here on my notes when they came, but there was one play where Leal had the ball on the right wing. He passed it to Malik. And Malik, you know, we're getting, you know, toward the end of the shot clock. A double comes. Malik tries to kind of dribble back his guy down, do a little spin move. He ends up turning the ball over. What he missed was that the double came from Leal's man, and Leal had relocated to the corner and was wide open for a three-pointer. But instead of getting that shot opportunity, it ended up being a turnover. Now, a few possessions later, when Indiana was down 55 to 53, a similar play happened. Malik got it in the post. The double comes from Xavier Johnson's man. X relocates a little bit to his right. Malik recognizes it, throws it to X. X hits the three-pointer, his only points of the game, to put Indiana up 56 to 55, coach. And as you know, you kind of look, you know, forward from Malik Renew, who I think we saw the talent as a freshman. You know, now in a bigger role as a sophomore, he's really done a nice job of being productive. Had some ups and downs, yes, but has still taken a nice step forward as a sophomore. That, to me, is indicative now of the kinds of plays that we'll want to see from him as an upperclassman, where if he can recognize what's happening in the post and recognize around him a little bit better, not only can he reduce some of the turnovers and maybe some of the shot attempts that are just, you know, just too high of a degree of difficulty to consistently be efficient on, and that's where Indiana can get more three-pointers. Because as much as we've, you know, wanted more threes, it's not all system-based. Some of it has been players not making the right reads on the court. And maybe, you know, you can say they haven't been coached well enough, you know, whatever it is. But that to me seems like a big opportunity for growth to Malik. We saw it with Trace, you know, becoming an elite passer out of the post. And if Malik can get there, I think it's really going to help the offense and help his efficiency. And we saw the difference in those two plays in the second half.
It's just basketball maturity with the basketball IQ and knowing, watching film, knowing how teams double, where the doubles are coming, anticipating the double and being ready to make the right play. And then it's, you want to have confidence. He's got a good problem. He believes he can score on anybody, including four people in the paint. That's kind of a positive thing. You want your best players to do that. Now, when you go through four people, that's when you turn the ball over, you take a bad shot, you do those things. And so those things need to be limited going forward in his junior year. But he has gotten better. I thought he was better in the first half of the season, and then he's kind of gone into a little bit of a, again, I'm going to score every time through two or three people. But when he does recognize and that ball pops, there are openings for three-point shots. You're absolutely right, like the two plays that you mentioned. That is, if you're going to go post and hope for post doubles, you got to have a really good passer out of the post. And Trayce Jackson-Davis got better his second year when he was the main guy. So last year, that wasn't his role so much. So this is really the first year in playing where you're going to get heavy double team because you're number one on the scouting report. And he's had some ups and downs with it. But those two plays show what he can do. And he's been able to do that a lot this year. Just he sometimes reverts back to his natural ability that I'm just going to play bully ball through the, you know, masses to score. Or he'll take one dribble and he'll be loose with it, looking to the rim, not knowing the guards are going after the bounce. But all of that comes with some maturity, and that's the reason why it's good to have players come in for two or three years in any system under any coach, because you can then teach the nuances, and you only get so many times to practice them in a high stressful situation. And so year after year, you see improvement with veteran players that stay in the game, that don't just have that innate ability to be a one and done or whatever, jump over people. Trayce had a little bit more athleticism. He could just go jump over people. Renew's got to be a little bit smarter. And so he's getting there. That's progress.
Yeah. You know, we talked about one of the other moments, which was McKenzie Mbako's just, you know, great rebound through three Michigan State Spartans. It's the kind of offensive rebound it feels like we've given up a lot this season, but not as much recently. You know, there haven't been as many of those and was able to score on it. But the other one that stood out to me, Ryan, and I know it's a small thing, but again, you know, you get to the end of a season that, you know, isn't really going anywhere in terms of the NCAA tournament, or at least doesn't seem like it is. You know, the Big Ten tournament is still there, and I guess we should stop underestimating what this team can do at the end of the season. But, you know, you start looking for a little growth from young guys. And again, you know, I thought Gabe Cupps was as impactful over the first 5 or 6 minutes of this game as we've seen from him, just kind of doing a lot of little things. But, you know, when Trey Galloway goes out, now when Gabe Cupps is out there, he can't just be, you know, a ball mover and someone who's not aggressive.
Can't melt into the background.
Right. You know, and I thought there was a play, I can't remember if it was the end of the first half or early in the second half, where Khalil Ware like slipped a screen and had a step on his man. And Gabe could have delivered the pass, but he kind of hesitated and didn't do it. And later on in the second half, in the midst of Tyson Walker just carving Indiana up, where Indiana really needed a bucket, Khalil had about a half step on his man and Gabe's bringing the ball up the court. And it's the kind of pass he has hesitated on a lot, and he just let it fly. And he delivered a great pass. Khalil finished it. And it's those little things from Gabe, too. You know, we know from his high school career he can make plays on a basketball court. You know, now, as a freshman, it's taken him a little while to get going. That pass to me was a little bit of, hey, Gabe starting to just let it rip a little bit. You know, and so hopefully, you know, these are signs of growth from him because, you know, again, we don't know, you know, there's going to be a lot of movement with the roster. We don't know who's going to be here, who's not. So all of this is conjecture, but, you know, you're going to need growth from, you know, from guys like him. And I thought, you know, all those guys who played, you know, had an impact winning, whether they played early in the first half, made some plays there in the second half with Trey out. And that was just a little thing from Gabe that stood out. And I hope it's a sign of things to come from him.
Yeah, and you look at his line today, he missed a three. That was the only shot he took in 21 minutes, minus two, but had three assists and no turnovers. And I think that, I mean, we've been saying it all year, and now, you know, we don't know what Trey's status is going to be moving forward, if he's going to be able to play by next week, or play by the next game. But I'll say, like, you need more offensively from Gabe Cupps, and it's not his fault. He shouldn't have to be somebody you rely on, but when he's in there for 21 minutes, you need offense from him. The defense is fine. He gets beaten by more athletic players off the dribble. That's something that hopefully develops as he goes forward. I mean, you see him get turned a lot, when a, you know, a veteran athletic player is going to go around him. But for the most part, that end is fine. You're not concerned about that. You're concerned about the offense. And he's just thinking too much, and he's not willing to pull the trigger enough. And again, that's not what you expected from him at this point. Maybe you expected him to be a little bit further down the road than he is, but he got thrust into action very early, did not play that well offensively, and maybe that holds you back a little bit. But you need a little bit more from him by this point. And it'll be interesting to see if, as they go into the Big Ten tournament, is he comfortable enough to start making some plays offensively? Because he needs to. And you're at that point with him. And then it also shows you that entering next season, okay, he's already on the runway to doing more, because they're going to need a lot from him next year based on the roster that's coming back right now. So you love to see some more from Gabe. I think that as far as his freshman year goes, regular season, you give him kind of an incomplete, because this was not the season you expected him to have to play. And it's not his fault that he's been thrust into this role. But again, at this point, if he's going to be on the floor, you do need more from him on the offensive end.
Yep. All right, guys, let's talk numbers, brought to you by Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. If you live in Bloomington or the surrounding areas and you want your taxes done right, contact our friend and Chat Mob Hall of Famer Megan Mahaffey and her team in Bloomington, Bedford, and Martinsville by calling 812-339-3334 or by visiting jacksonhewitt.com. Coach, I think, you know, the biggest number that jumps out today in a one-point victory is Indiana dominated in the paint. 40 points in the paint for Indiana, 22 points in the paint for Michigan State. You know, you would expect that to a certain extent. Michigan State isn't a team that scores a ton in the paint. Indiana is, but it was especially important today because once Trey Galloway goes out, you've basically got one other guy that you can count on for production, and that's a freshman, you know, in McKenzie Mbako. And so Indiana really had to play through Khalil and play through Malik, and it wasn't a particularly efficient day for Malik, 6 of 14, but Khalil Ware takes 19 shots, makes 13 of them, and Indiana needed every single one that they got from those big guys. And sometimes today it had to just be, like I said earlier, you guys go make a play, and they did it. So, and that's indicative of the points in the paint. Any thoughts on that, and then what other numbers stood out to you?
Yeah, when you have a guy like Ware, you're going to dominate that stat, and you should dominate. I just think Khalil has just had a really solid run, very efficient from the field. It's I don't want to say it's easy, but when you're dunking a basketball, you're 7-2, and you can just go up and get rebounds. I mean, his offensive rebound dunks are important. I just think that's you have to take advantage of it. And then Indiana, the nice thing about it is Indiana's been taking advantage by hitting enough threes. You know, 6, 7, 8 threes in a game, as opposed to being held to zero in some games. And while we all clamor to have more, that's just enough. Like, Indiana got out to that 20-5 lead because they took threes early. And then you had to adjust to that. Then we have dominance inside. That is a recipe to score enough points. And again, Indiana wasn't very efficient offensively overall. The number that stood out to me was – Indiana was winning because Trey Galloway was distributing the basketball, and he had 0 assists because he was hurt. And then you see X had 4, but Leo had 3. And I've always complimented Anthony Leo on his ability to post feed and his ability to pass the ball. And that one drive where he was driving in and he threw the little alley-oop up was that's a basketball player understanding where, the ball needs to go and his teammates. I thought that was just an excellent – play. At first I thought he was shooting and just trying to flip it up there, and if he was, it really looked like a pass. So Anthony gets credit for that, but 3 assists for him is picking up some of that too. When you have a player go down, and you know, there are reasons why you win and lose. There are no excuses. The score on the scoreboard is the team wearing one color jersey scored certain, and the other team wearing another color jersey scored another. You could always say that it was officials and, well, this player played and this player didn't play, but the score matters. Today, Indiana struggled offensively at times, but won a game when their best playmaker was injured. That's what good teams and good coaching staffs, they get their kids next man up mentality is all about. There's no excuses. And Indiana didn't have any today. They went and won the game. But Anthony Leo's 3 assists, I didn't think Xavier played well today. I think he did a couple things well. But when you look and you see he had four assists, that's, again, picking up for Trey Galloway. And X has been doing that a little bit better as well. The passing and the sharing the basketball has been better for this Indiana team and their winning streak.
Well, and, you know, I'll say this. I mean, X did not play well overall, you know, no. Especially in the first
there
half.
There was one point where the announcer said, I don't know what Johnson was thinking of that on that pass. And I was just like, welcome to being an Indiana fan.
I mean, he made several of those. There's no question. I mean, he had three or four turnovers in the first half, missed layups, really looked out of sorts. But I think you have to credit him, you know, 16 minutes in the second half. 3 points, three boards, three assists, one turnover, a block, and excellent defense at the end, and got the, you know, the assist at the end of the game. He made plays to help this team win. So, you know, it's the full X experience. You can say, well, maybe if he didn't turn it over so much in the first half, maybe they're taking a 12-point lead into halftime, and that's fine. But on senior day, Xavier Johnson stepped up at the end of the game and made plays to help the team win. And I was just so happy to see his teammates. You know, the thing for me is it would have been a lot easier to give up on X if his teammates or coaches gave up on him. They never did. So there's got to be something there. You know, and Ryan, you talked earlier, you know, how a big part of this run is about, you know, Mackenzie Mbako, you know, and his emergence. And what did he say? He feels more comfortable on the court when Xavier Johnson's there because he helps him play with pace and he's an important part of the team. So I get all the criticism of Xavier Johnson, and he's made a lot of mistakes and all that stuff. And, you know, but the kid stepped up and made big plays to win the game today. And so let's focus on that instead of, you know, all the other issues, because that to me is what's most important, you know, on senior day. And he's the other thing to remember about him, too, is he's playing hurt. You know, and you can tell, like, when he's trying to fight through screens, he's not comfortable fighting through screens because of his elbow. He's not 100%. So I just think, like, it's easy to pile on him and the mistakes and all that stuff. I get it. But at least balance it out by recognizing the plays that this guy has made to help this team win in these last four games. Because it's not all him, but it's not a coincidence that they've played better these last four games with him on the court.
Even just the depth he adds helps.
Right.
I mean, you know, just having the extra body to take some minutes away from your freshman who's starting right now. But no, certainly he makes plays to help win. I mean, Gabe Kupp shouldn't be playing 35 minutes in a game or ever. Right. Probably shouldn't be playing more than 30. And Xavier being out there gives him some relief defensively, especially. But no, he's making winning plays at times. He's making plays that lose you games as well. But he's answering those, I think. The stat I had, and Sad, I don't want to bring the mood down, but free throws, 5 of 12, 41.7%.
Man, what did we finish the regular season at free throw was?
Not, I don't know if it's been updated yet, but it was
65.4%, 347th. And okay, in Big Ten play, 63%.
Look, Mike Woodson's coming back next year. They finish the game, regular season, on four games. The shooting has to be fixed. I'm sorry. I don't. Free throws and three-point, it has to be fixed next year. If it's not fixed next year, I'm sorry, pink slip everybody, including the entire athletic department has to go. I don't care, except for Kirk Cignetti. That's the only guy that can stay. But it's no. But
or let him try to fix it.
If Indiana cannot shoot next year again for the fourth year in a row, and if you add in the Archie Miller era, like 8 years in a row, like – it's inexcusable to be this bad, guys. They have to be better next year. I don't care what they do, who they bring in, what they add, who they illegally add to the coaching. I don't care. You have to be better at shooting the basketball next year. It can cost you games, and it almost did today. With, you know, you left 7 points of the free throw line. If Ware doesn't hit that last one, you're tied going into that final position. I mean, you know, he did hit it. Great. We're happy. Thank you, Khalil. But at the same time, it's like those little things cost you games. And yeah. And so, again, you know, they have to fix that this offseason. That has to be priority number one, transfer portal and shooting. That's it. You do those two things, you'll probably be good enough to win next year.
The athletic department's humming, and Ryan wants to fire everybody but the football coach.
Fire everybody.
Game yet.
Everybody top to bottom. I cannot watch this for another season, guys.
If this was Seinfeld, man, Cignetti should just leave right now.
It's never going to get better for you, Kurt. By the way, the thing I was going to say was rebounds, 39 to 33. Indiana won the rebounding battle against Michigan State. Offensive rebounds, 12 to 12. So they gave up 12.
And you saw guys battling, boxing out, getting bodies on people,
you know,
attacking rebounds.
That's been a big part of this four-game winning streak. It really has. And there was one of these games, I don't remember which one it was, there was the rebound numbers didn't look great, It was the last game. Because the other team missed so many three pointers, there were long rebounds, so the offensive rebound statistics got a little skewed. But I would say I think that you've just seen more effort on the glass.
There's more of a commitment to this.
Yeah,
it was one other meaningful moment. You know, Khalil has been a great rebounder. I mean, number one in defensive rebounding percentage in the conference. And, you know, one thing you notice with him is he tries to rely on his reach and his height a lot to get rebounds. Today, he was moving his legs and his body to get rebounds. And that's such a big part of what you need to do. And I think just shows the little things that the team wasn't doing early in the season that we harped on and harped on and harped on that now they are. And those little things that I think scouts are noticing, Ryan, that, you know, make Khalil Ware a guy that is now, you know, not just kind of a novelty 7-footer who can move and shoot and has all these skills. He's producing on the basketball court and making winning plays.
And he has all season. He went through a lull midseason, I think, where the physicality of the opponent changed. But since then, he's really settled in. And just his ceiling is unlimited. I mean, he's going to be Khalil Ware would be as good as he wants to be. It's all on him to get, you know, bigger, stronger, work on that dribble, work on that shot. He can play out on the floor and he can play inside. Again, just unlimited ceiling on that guy. He's going to, and I'll repeat it, he's going to be as good as he wants to be.
Yep. All right. Coming up on the assembly call, we're going to hand out our game balls and Hoosier Hustle Award. And we've got a few interesting lingering questions to kick around. Plus, look ahead to what's next in the Big Ten tournament. That's coming up on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot. For an episode of the Assembly Call.
Thank you, Jordan. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris here with the coach, here with Ryan Phillips, and it is time now for our game balls presented by our friends Allie and James at Bloom Environmental. And they want to make sure everybody knows about radon, a colorless, odorless, radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer in non-smokers. According to the EPA, Monroe County and other surrounding counties throughout Indiana are expected to have elevated levels of radon above the action level recommended for mitigation. Contact Bloom Environmental today and mention Assembly Call for a free radon test kit and mitigation estimate. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com. I think I know where we're going with the game balls, but let's make it official. Ryan, who gets your game ball for this Indiana victory?
Well, I will say honorable mention to Trey Galloway and Anthony Leo for their post-game announcements. That gets a game ball, for an honorary game ball for me, that they're both coming back. I'm excited for both those guys. But it's Khalil Ware, 28 points, 13 and 19 shooting, 1 of 2 from three. I'm not going to mention the free throw line. 12 rebounds and assist, 1 turnover and 2 blocks. 37 minutes. He just is who he's been. Incredible. You know, I think that we got spoiled by Trayce Jackson Davis's numbers last year. And so seeing Ware put up these numbers, it kind of feels like, you know, it can feel like, oh yeah, that's good. But I mean, this is exceptional what he's doing. And I think we got used to it from Trayce. And we even talked about how sometimes we downgrade him and not give him the game ball last year for games where he put up big numbers, but somebody else stepped up. And so we, you know, it was almost like we were grading on a curve. You can't grade on a curve with this kid, and we got to prevent ourselves from doing that. He was exceptional today.
Yeah, and look, and even the free throws, misses those five, but hits the game
winner.
Hit
the one that mattered.
That puts you ahead. I'm going to vote for Khalil too. Coach, I'll kick it over to you by just putting some of his numbers into context here. So in Big Ten conference play, Khalil finishes the season number one in effective field goal percentage, 66.2%. Number one in defensive rebounding percentage, 28%. Number four in block percentage at 6.6. And his two-point field goal percentage was third in the league, 65%. So obviously the free throw shooting, not good. And you can just see it on his face every time he's up there that he cares and he's frustrated and it's just not happening for him. But man, you know, you think back, Coach, to the conversations we were having about Khalil in the offseason, lots of talent, you know, boy, things went wrong at Oregon, but you know, you can kind of craft a narrative for how that went bad because his assistant coach left and he gets in the doghouse, but what's he going to do here? You know, and look, he's had some struggles in big games. That's fair to acknowledge, but overall this season, you can't really ask for a lot more from a sophomore, big man than what we've gotten from him. And, you know, if this was 25 years ago in college basketball, well, I don't know, even 25 years ago, a 7-footer doing what he's doing is probably going pro. But it would be fun to think about, man, what could this guy be as a junior and senior? We'll probably never see it. But even so, his sophomore year at Indiana has been really, really good, despite the fact that the overall results haven't been for the team.
Yeah, he was fantastic tonight. He's been fantastic most of the year, and in this stretch, he's been unstoppable. I think you did point out that he has some room to grow, and he'll probably do that at the next level, going up a guys of equal size and maybe stronger is when he hasn't had his good games. But they were, you know, there was some muscle out there today, and he just dominated. So he's learning to play with his body and the mind that was fixed early by the coaching staff. And there never was a doubt from me on whether he was playing hard or desire or any of the things that you heard from Oregon. That was cleared up, and that's a credit to everyone involved. He has played better, like I said earlier, with finding space instead of trying to be physical and go through people. And that's the biggest growth, I think, in his game. And we saw today that negative drop step or whatever you want to call it is just pretty with that touch. And it is a little frustrating for the young man because he hits threes and he hits those fadeaway jumpers and they're nothing but net most of the time. And then he gets to the free throw line where there's no traffic, no one bouncing around. And it's just got to be a confidence and a mental block right now for him. But he has just really been what Indiana fans thought he was, or hoping at least, that we would get out of him being that highly recruited and then having a struggle at Oregon. The hope was he would come in here under Coach Woodson, and you have to give Coach and the staff credit for bringing that out, that natural ability out, which shows up in today's game ball as well as a few others.
Khalil leads with 12 game balls this season. Malik has 8, McKenzie Mbako with 5, Trey Galloway with 3. Let's go now to our Hoosier Hustle Award. The Hoosier Real Hustle
Award. Hi, this is Anthony Leal, and it's time for the Hoosier Hustle Award. But first, let's talk about my friends at Security Pro 24/7, who provide trusted and reliable security for your event or business. From Bloomington, my hometown, to Evansville, where Coach Calvert Chaney grew up, and everything in between. Just like hustle can't be measured by stats, prevention can't be measured either, but it has a huge impact on your bottom line and peace of mind. So let the security pros at Security Pro 24/7 help you prevent a bad outcome today. Visit securitypro247.com to learn more. That's securitypro247.com. And tell them Anthony Leal sent you.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Who's your Hustle Award? Coach, you mentioned earlier that you're looking at Mbako for the Hustle Award. Does he get yours, or you want to go somewhere else?
Yeah, I am, because I think his confidence and his aggressiveness shooting the basketball got Indiana off to a start that they wouldn't have won the game without. Then that rebound on offense in the first half was awesome, and his 6 rebounds. And then when I'm watching him and he's locked in on a stance and – he's still, you know, obviously no one plays a perfect game on film, but man, in the last game of the season from where he was at the beginning of the season, he's just showed a heck of a lot of improvement, and the rebounding is important. You know, it's something I think Malik struggles with. Malik ball watches a lot, and his guys go around. There's a rebound dunk once he gave up on the baseline. He gave up a couple, but I don't know that You know, maybe Mac did one time, but I'm gonna lean that way because I think sometimes in a game of basketball, those are the things that set the tone, and it's not always the stats that show hustle. I think he was mentally hustling. He was locked in to the scouting report. He was doing what he could. His effort was there. If anything, it was probably just physical mistakes tonight. And I just really appreciate his growth this season as well. And I thought, without that first half aggressiveness and pulling the trigger and just the way he played, whether the ball went in or not, set the tone, especially once Trey Galloway was out. So for me, just an all-around effort tonight by him, stats or not. So I'm going to go with Mbako.
I can't dispute anything you said. I think you stated a really good case for him. There's a part of it that would love to give this to Xavier Johnson in his final game at Assembly Hall. I'm going to give mine to Anthony Leal. I mean, think about as we've
that was
gone
my
through
second.
This game, how many plays we've already talked about with Leal hustle. You know, and I think, again, you know, you talk about tone setting coach. Trey Galloway has been that guy. So when Trey Galloway's out, who else is going to step up and do it? And the nice thing was, it was a lot of guys who stepped up and did it. You know, you made a great case for Mbako. You know, X played hard. Anthony Leal did it. But I just think Leal had so many little plays where he's, you know, look, almost every person he's going up against Michigan State is a better athlete than him. But no one's going to compete better than Anthony. And he's able to make up for some of his deficiencies in a similar way that Miller Kopp was last year, by knowing where to be and just competing like heck if someone gets a half step on him and never giving up on a play. You know, whether it's, you know, sprinting 50 feet to try and be there for a rebound that never comes, or sprinting back in transition to help, you know, redirect whatever Michigan State is trying to do. So it didn't turn out to be his last game at Assembly Hall, which is great because I think we've seen down the stretch here, you probably, you know, you don't want Anthony Leal overexposed. He's not a guy that you want in a featured role on a really good team, but he's valuable. You know, and I want to throw Anthony Walker in here too, Ryan, before I kick it to you. You know, you don't, a team doesn't come back from, you know, the depths that this team was in and win four straight, no matter what you know, anybody wants to say about the quality of the opponents, whether they're going to go to the NCAA tournament, this, that, or the other. The season was left for dead by a lot of people. They win four in a row. And part of the reason you do that is because you have guys like Anthony Leal who care, because you have guys like Anthony Walker with positive attitudes, you know, that help uplift a locker room that might otherwise be down. You have leaders like Trey Galloway who step up their games when they need it. And so I'm just real proud of all the seniors for not giving up on this season and making sure that it finished on a positive note. And I think all of them did it with effort and toughness. And so they all deserve credit, but I'm giving my hustle award today to Leal.
Yeah, I'm joining you. I'm going to give it to Leal as well. I think, you know, playing 28 minutes in a game he probably wasn't thinking he was going to, with Trey Galloway going down. Again, no points, but that doesn't tell the story what he does on the floor. And you just saw it so many times. And hey, the last drive, Xavier Johnson didn't get beaten, but he was kind of even with the guy. And who's there to step up and put his arms up? Anthony Leal makes it a tougher shot. I mean, that might go in, and it doesn't. And so I think that he does so many of the little things that when you
just giving a shooter something to see that they don't expect can throw
to
off
think
a
about
shot.
It's in the back of their head. It's the same effect Khalil Ware has on shots, whether or not he's even close to blocking a shot, you know, he's there and he's roaming. And that was Anthony Leal, just gave him a different thing to look at and didn't score a point today, but I thought Anthony played great and he hustled defensively. And like Gabe Cupps, there are physical limitations, but he fights his ass off every play and will never stop doing that. And you know what? I saw a lot today. He was recovering for other guys too.
Yes.
You know, at times, and he's done that all season. And so I give mine to Anthony Leal today. And I'm happy to hear that he's going to be back. Bloomington kid, cannot be happier for him.
Well, and you know, let's go on here now with our lingering questions. You know, we can talk about the senior speeches. Obviously the headline is that Trey and Anthony are coming back. You know, and I spoke earlier about how important that is. Again, you know, there have been a lot of fears, whether, you know, founded or unfounded. And this happens a lot when seasons go as poorly as this one has. You know, there's going to be a mass exodus, and how many roster spots are we going to be filling? Having those two guys back really helps to at least solidify things now for what they have to go do. It doesn't mean they don't still, you know, have a huge hill to climb in the portal. But it would be a much bigger hill to climb if you're trying to replace you know, the production that you get from Trey already and the leadership and experience that you get from Anthony Leal.
If Anthony Leal isn't a captain next year, I'm going to throw something. He deserves to be.
Yes.
Well, he wasn't this year.
You know? No, you're right. You're right. He absolutely does deserve to be. Coach, I'm just, you know, curious from your perspective, you know, what does that mean to you as a coach to, you know, if you put yourself in Mike Woodson's shoes, to have those two guys back and for them to have his back publicly? You know, I think that's the thing about those senior speeches is, you know, there's we're all looking at this from a logical perspective. And, you know, our friends at X's and Joe's have really talked about how difficult of a needle it's going to be recruiting wise to thread. You know, and so I think a lot of logical arguments for, hey, why should you feel good about next season? A lot of logical arguments are landing flat with people. But the emotional argument, seeing Trey and Anthony Leal stump for their coach in such a public way, I don't think there was really anything more meaningful that could help at least turn the narrative a little bit for Mike Woodson than what happened today. So I'm just curious for you from a coach perspective, what does that mean to you?
I don't know that I'm the right guy to comment about that right now, to be honest.
I'm saying put yourself in Mike Woodson's shoes, not from your own perspective.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. It's kind of difficult for me to not get my own personal perspective, and today's about the seniors. I wouldn't want my players defending me publicly, because if I felt I did a good job, then it's in the locker room. What's said in the locker room stays in the locker room. But I don't know if that's my personal opinion or whatever. You know, we'll bond together in the locker room. If we believe everyone's against us, let's go out and win the Big Ten tournament. Let's do it in the locker room. Let's do some extra free throw shooting. Let's do some extra stuff. If it has to be public, I think it speaks volumes for those of us who aren't in that mode of appreciating Coach Woodson that the players do. I think that's maybe something for us to open our eyes, that the locker room wasn't as bad as maybe some of that we thought. And so that it was probably good. As a coach, you probably appreciate that your players felt in their speeches they said something about you. So yes, you probably feel good about it.
I think you could tell the speeches from what Woodson said about true fans, his comment about, you know, hey, I'm going to be here. I'm the coach at Indiana basketball and I'm not going anywhere. And, you know, especially what Anthony Leal said, you know, kind of saying how, you know, and kind of felt like a comment that was directed at shows like ours to a certain extent. You know,
no,
hey, we're coming back, but everybody needs to chill.
It was directed at Twitter, Jared.
Okay. But I'm just saying, but people who were nitpicking and criticizing, hey, look, we called for the coach's head, so we can include ourselves in
that.
No,
we didn't.
That's what I'm saying.
We didn't, though. None of us said he should be fired. Like, that's different. Because somebody accused me of that this week, and I'm pissed off. They said, you called for a new fire. I said, I never called for anybody to lose their job. They asked me we talked about how we felt about things and what we thought the direction, how we felt about the direction of the program. And it was bad. And honestly, the future direction of the program, still, there's a lot of question marks. And you just even mentioned
I'm not saying this to defend us. I'm saying their perception, they clearly use that in the locker room to motivate themselves.
Maybe.
I think you could tell that from the senior speeches is what I'm saying.
I'm going to say something about this, though, because of Mike Woodson's comments. And then in the press conference, he said, I've done my job. Okay. I'm not going to get into whether Mike Woodson deserves his job or whatever. I think he's done a really good job the last four games. And I think these players have really stepped up and done theirs. But if you have to consistently address that publicly, that's not a good sign. If you're that confident about everything, you don't have to say anything. And when somebody says, you know, like, you know, when a reporter asks you if you're about your job, say, hey, I'm not going to talk about that. But you don't say, like, I've done my job or anything like that, or I'm going to be here or whatever. If you're going to be here and you're confident about it, you don't have to say anything. And I will say, the athletic department leaking that he was going to be back, all it did was give credence to the rumors that he was on the hot seat. You know, if anybody was going to say something, Scott Dolson should have talked to a reporter and been like, of course he's going to be back. Like, why would we let him go? He's doing a great job. But saying, like, no, he's going to be back next year, all it does is air out the fact that you were considering him not being back next year, or that was a real thing. And so I will say, don't address it, because it's only going to fuel the negativity. Because saying, like, oh, the real fans were sticking with us, the people who were concerned about the program in some cases are the ones who care the most about the program. And so
that I agree with.
And when you sign up for the Indiana job, That comes with a territory with a bad season, just like at Kentucky, at Duke, at Kansas, wherever. Some of those places just don't have really bad seasons. But those fan bases that care, you're going to get negativity. And the best way to do it, and I know it's hard to do this, tune it out, act confident, and be confident in yourself. And if you're confident in yourself and you're confident that you are secure, you don't need to address it publicly. So that's what I'm going to say about it. It's stop talking about it. Let the fans do what they're going to do. And if that's getting to you, it's the sign of a weak program. If that's getting to you, good programs do not let that affect them because they're confident that they're doing well. They don't start looking at that stuff. And so, again, he's going to be back. I hope that it's way better next year and all of that. And I give them kudos for the way they have closed this season. It's been great. It's been fun to watch. I feel like it's been the most fun basketball we've watched this year from this team. And I only hope it continues. Stop talking about your job status. Stop trying to prove to us with your words that you deserve the job. You've got the job. Shut up about it. Like, honestly, everybody, and I'm not just, that's not just Mike Woodson. That's everybody in the athletic department. That's the players, whatever. He's back. Be confident about it and stop addressing it, because then you start a war between yourself and the fans, and that only leads to bad places.
My biggest regret in coaching is trying to please everyone and worry about what everyone said. And when you worry about everyone said, you're not coaching your team the best way. And that happened to me a couple times as a high school coach. One time it was right after we won a sectional. I got an anonymous letter about the post game. I gave a 1,000-point ball to our senior guy, and someone said, oh, it's only about this kid, and you're only about this anonymous. And it bothered me for days, and my assistants got ticked at me, and I didn't coach well for 2 days. Now, I think we went on and won the next tournament game, so it didn't matter. But I wasn't good because I was letting the outside voices affect what was going on in the locker room. Now, I mean, and so the natural tendency of a coach is to say it and to defend yourself and to get mad and angry that someone's being critical. But, and we see it from a lot of coaches. They get a little testy in post-game conferences when they lose and certain questions. And the guy that we loved for a long time got real testy in press conferences. So that doesn't mean you can't go on to have another winning year next year or whatever else. But true fan was a tough thing. I didn't listen, so I got to try to get to the context of it. But what Ryan said,
the context is basically what you would expect it to be. I mean, the words pretty much spoke for themselves, I think.
I'd like a follow-up and ask him what his definition of a true fan is. It blind faith or what's the definition of true fan? Because this true fan's not very happy hearing those comments. I've sacrificed time to bring joy to Indiana basketball fans, whether you like the show or not. I watch games. I do all that. And then I hear the head coach of my university, because I was critical of him. And he can be critical of me. That's fair. Maybe that's a fair balance. But come out and say, Brian Tonsoni, I think you're full of crap. You know, fans. When I saw that, true fans, that's saying you got to believe in me no matter what. That's arrogance. And I didn't want to go there, Jared, today, because it was seniors and Indiana has played good basketball. And Brian Tonsoni is a small blip in this whole world. But I've been an Indiana fan since 1970, whenever I could start watching television. There is no more true fan. I'll go talk to you right now, Mike Woodson, if you want to talk about a true fan. And I'll tell you what you do right, and you can tell me what I do right. I'm a true fan. Be careful. I wish you luck in the portal. I wish you luck in the Big Ten tournament. I want you to win, my friend. I loved you as a player. 42 is one of my favorite numbers. I wore it in high school. I want Indiana to win. I want you to be better. You've been better in the last four games, dude. But don't let us get to you, because if it does, then you're not doing your job in the locker room. I'm disillusioned for Indiana basketball. First time ever in my lifetime. And I almost didn't come on tonight when I saw that stuff, because I didn't want to get here. Now, I'm going to swallow it. I will be back on Thursday, Friday night, rooting like heck, and try to change into a true fan, because I guess I've been a false fan. I'm done.
You're right, Coach. I mean, that should be clipped and sent around to everybody. Like, that's exactly it. I mean, people who question things doesn't mean we don't want you to win. You know, it's that we see things that we question and have questioned for quite some time. And guess what? When you take the Indiana job, that's part of it. And if you can't take that kind of stuff, don't take the damn job, because it's going to come when you don't perform and you don't meet expectations. And yeah, they ended up with 18 wins and 10-10 in the Big Ten, in a bad Big Ten this year, quite frankly. Guess what? When you were 14-13 and far below expectations, you should be the one going, hey, you know what? I got to change some things because we're not doing it. Instead of being angry at the fans, look inside yourself. Like, that's, you put a mirror up to yourself. The fans did not cause you to lose those 13 games, did not cause you to go 8-10. That was what you were doing, and your players and your assistants and the whole program, whatever. But have some humility and look at yourself. And don't, the fans are a convenient excuse for everybody when things go wrong. It's like a perfect example is in college football, when your team's bad, who's the first guy they point at to fire? The strength and conditioning coach. You know, like it's the fans, like it's, no, look at yourself. You're in charge. You're the adult in the room, or should be. And the fact that you took a job, you know what Indiana fans are like, Mike, you played here. Like, they're crazy. And that's why you get 18,000 in Assembly Hall. That's why you get those loud crowds. That's why you get the NIL contributions you get. That's why you get all of this. That's why we get 1,000 people watching live of a show we do after the game. Like, when they're not good, when the team is terrible, it's because Indiana basketball has this rabid support. And guess what? When they haven't won in a long time and they fall short of expectations, they're going to be upset and they're going to come for you. But the same things that give you the advantages of the job with NIL money and attendance and all of that are going to go the other way if things aren't good. And that's, be an adult and understand that's going to happen. And if you're not secure enough with yourself to know you're going to deal with that and to take those arrows when they come, this isn't the job for you. It just isn't. You can go back and be an assistant in the NBA where nobody talks about you. Like, it's one of the two. And so I think it's really great that Indiana has finished this season well. And I am really happy to see, I'm really excited to see what happens in the Big Ten tournament. They need the tournament. A lot of other teams that they'll be playing do not. So maybe they're motivated to make the run. I'm going to be cheering like hell, just like Coach. But don't sit here and call out the same fans who are paying your salary, man. Like, don't do it. And it's just stupid. It's so dumb and it's unnecessary. If you're that confident in yourself, you don't even worry about it. So that's where I'm at with it.
The criticism back to us, the show, fine.
Well, to be clear, no one said anything about us. Yes. We don't need to make it about us.
That's the case, and you do have to, if we're critical of him, then he has the right to be critical of us. Yeah, I get that. But it was
the phrasing. You can't do what we do and not expect some criticism. Totally. Right,
exactly. It was the phrasing that really bothered me. Maybe I'm too sensitive, and I'll take that heat if people want to throw up my way. But, you know, true fans care, and true fans can appreciate, and true fans can be critical. You know, the bottom line is a lot of those fans who are critical were there today and still cheering. And so you just got to be careful as a coach, because you are the voice of the program, you know, and it does carry some weight. And I'm sure maybe that's not what he intended. To back up a little bit, that's maybe not what he intended. He obviously was frustrated with what went on. And I get it. I've been there. The dumbest things I've ever said were in the heat of the moment against some criticism when a reporter was in the locker room. I've been there. I understand it. There's slips. And so that's probably what really happened. And so we probably shouldn't overreact to those words. But I think he went back to it two or three times, according to tweets. And
he did.
That's just one old guy's opinion. I hope that we're celebrating a Big Ten championship next year and a two seed, and he got the guys in the portal, and he's obviously shown some ability to change right now and play better basketball, and he's got guys on the team that are supporting him, so there's some positives there, and I'm willing to say that as well. If I were advising him, I'd just say, just be careful and make sure you're really sure with your words, and be critical to your tight group of friends is where you really go off on that, because, and then that would be fair game, to Anyway, I've said enough. I got bracketology to do.
No, I mean, I agree with everything that you guys said about his words. I could have done without those. The original point was just how interesting it was that Trey and Anthony felt the need to say that publicly, which to me suggests that this has been a rallying cry inside of the locker room for the team, for better or worse, you know, and who knows, we're not in there. But I just found that part interesting. The biggest lingering question for the immediate future of the team is Trey Galloway's health. Have you guys seen any updates? You know, nothing. The interesting, do we know when the injury happened? Because he wasn't questionable, but he came out at the start of the game wearing that black wrap on his knee, which he's never worn before.
No.
So he, and you could tell he was limping a little bit.
I wonder
so
if it was a practice thing, maybe.
Yeah, he must have done something either yesterday or today, and then maybe he tweaked it or aggravated it during the game. That's all I can think of. So I'll be interested to see. I mean, he said that he'll be there ready to play. I mean, you know, anybody's going to say that, and I'm sure he'll do whatever he can to be out there. And he's got a little bit of time to rest, but I didn't see what the cause of the injury was, so I'll be curious to see that.
What have we figured
out? Might have been a pregame.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, he was on, I think he had the wrap in warmups. So, it, you know, might have been he got out there and played with the intensity of an actual game and he just couldn't do it. And that, you know, I appreciate him even trying, but he only got 7 minutes. So it was clearly on senior day, he only got 7 minutes. So clearly it was because you could see him on the side. They were talking to him and he was just, you could see him shaking his head.
Oh, just he just looked devastated.
Yeah.
He it probably like happened him. After they put out the report, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what let's see. So if Iowa loses, what seed does Indiana get? Seven?
We'll be the sixth seed.
Six. Okay.
And yeah, we're going to be six or seven.
Okay. What's that?
I don't know. We'll have to look
like
at the
bracket.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't opened up a bracket. Here, let me do a quick ad read while you look up the bracket and maybe
I'm
give
looking
us some
right
insight.
Now.
You're listening to The Assembly Call. Remember to check out our friends at Home Field Apparel. You can use the promo code HOME23 at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Ryan, do you have updated Big Ten tournament bracket
they
for us?
Will, they would be the late game on Thursday. Yay!
I'll be traveling on Thursday, so that's actually good for me.
They play whoever number 11 is against Michigan. The winner of that will be who they play. Yeah,
it's late. Either Minnesota, Penn State, or Maryland, depending on tiebreakers.
Gotcha. So like a quarter of the Big Ten. It's still a lot to be decided. Is the Illinois Iowa game the last game?
And Penn State and Maryland are playing right now.
Okay. Oh, okay. I have it on top 25. That's why. It's
all right.
The list. So okay. Penn State's up on Maryland in the second half. Illinois is up six with about 7 minutes to go on Iowa. So go Illini, something I've never said in my entire life.
Yeah. I guess in this case, that's fine. They're going against Fran, so it's okay.
Well, and if they're the seven seed, they still play on Thursday. They play the 10, whoever's the 10. So
that
either
would just
way,
be what, an hour earlier or the
it's the game,
game
before
Thursday night. Yeah. Okay,
it's so either way, 5:30 Central. Or,
yeah, 6:30 Eastern or the late game. So
okay, very nice, very nice. All right, well, let's go to last call, guys. I mean, there's tons and tons more to talk about with the program and all that, but I think we said pretty much everything that can be said about this game for now. So last call, Coach, why don't you go first if you have anything else to say about today's game?
No, it's just it's nice to win. You know, it's nice to win. It's nice to see good defense, and it's nice to see the players playing a lot more free. So whatever happened, and if it's, you know, from the top, congratulations, Coach. Good job. Keep it up. Go, you know, go win a Big Ten tournament, win a couple games. But the ability to catch and shoot and to play freely and to pass the basketball has been evident these last four games. It's just really been good. So that's what should give all of us hope. Despite my comments and whatever else, the post-game comments, something's happened in the last four games. In the locker room, in the coaching staff, whatever, that Indiana has been able to play well and beat the teams that they're scheduled to play. And you know, we can poop all that it wasn't the toughest teams or whatever, but you played who showed up and you won the game. And now you got a chance to go into the tournament and make some noise. And Coach Woodson has been successful to get to the semifinals, has a chance to get to the semifinals again. And that would be a great – that should speak enough for you, Coach Woodson, right there, is why you deserve the job again, why people believe in you. Let your results speak for you, because if they continue to do this, then those results should speak volumes that you have made the changes that are necessary. go win a basketball game again on Friday night or Thursday night, whenever we play, and keep winning. That's the bottom line. And it was just good for those seniors that aren't coming back. It was good for the seniors who did announce to come back. And it's just good for all of us to win basketball games. So there has been some positive changes that have been made. Make sure it just stays, you know, stay that way and keep winning. And even if we lose here in the Big Ten, make it a very competitive game, playing basketball the right way, because it's been done here the last four. And you all, coaching staff, Coach Woodson, and everyone should be credited with that turnaround when we were at 14 and 13 to give us a little bit of hope to play in some postseason basketball. Go win.
Ryan, last call.
I just want to say I'm a true fan of Brian Tonsoni. That's what I'm going to say tonight. And I mean that, Coach. I thought your monologue there was spot on. Look, it's really nice to get this win today. I think beginning of the season, you looked at this one on the radar and said, oh, senior day against Michigan State, really? And Indiana, and again, at the beginning of the season, we didn't know anything about the Big Ten. Michigan State looked like it was going to be in contention for the title. And again, it just shows you don't know anything about this conference until it starts. Finishing at 10-10, not where you wanted to be, but hey, it's better than, you know, the alternative of what it looked like a couple weeks ago. Finishing with 18 wins, not where you want to be, but better than it looked like a couple weeks ago. So credit to the players for stepping up and getting this done and winning these last four. Because I remember almost jokingly after they lost the last loss they had, I remember I was on here saying, hey, win the next four, you're at 500 in the Big Ten. I did not expect that to happen, but I'm happy it did. Yeah. But the last thing I want to say is Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, congratulations to them for making the choice to come back to Indiana. It's a great place to do a victory lap. So I appreciate that they will get to do that for them. They're two kids who have represented everything that Indiana basketball is all about. You've never heard about them being in trouble or not, you know, getting it done academically or anything, and how dedicated they are to the program and how dedicated they are to the university. Having them back is not just good for the basketball program, it's good for Indiana. And I will be thrilled for them next year. And as I said earlier, if Anthony Leal isn't a captain next year, I am going to throw something. He deserved to be a captain this year, quite frankly, especially after Xavier Johnson, one of his incidents. I think that he deserved to take over as a captain. And those two should be captains next year. I don't care who comes in or who is back. Those two should absolutely be lock solid for captains, not just because they're great, they're good basketball players, but because of what they represent and who they have been during their time at Indiana. So Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway, it's your day for me. I think Khalil Ware was great, but it's your day. And I think he'd probably say that too. So congratulations. I'm happy to have you both back and can't wait to watch you next year as well.
Agree. It was Anthony's day. It was Trey's day. It was X's day. It was Anthony Walker's day. You know, this day is about the seniors. Obviously, you get to the end of a regular season that's 18-13, 10-10 in conference play. You have to go win the Big Ten tournament to make the NCAA tournament. No one's happy with those overall results. So don't mistake this for, you know, saying that the season is redeemed or a four-game winning streak at the end makes everything that happened before better. No, that's not true. We're just indulging the moment. And this moment was another good performance, you know, four in a row for Indiana that I think falls into that category. But I think a lot of credit to the seniors for helping to, you know, again, a season that was left for dead by many. And they at least brought it back, finished on a high note, and gave you a little bit of reason to hope for, you know, for the Big Ten tournament. So, you know, I credit those guys for that, for making winning plays today. And hopefully they can continue that in the Big Ten tournament. You know, and who knows? Who knows what this team is going to be capable of? I know there's probably going to be a lot of talk about how Indiana, if Trey Galloway's healthy, is a dark horse team for the Big Ten tournament. You'd rather be a favorite for the Big Ten tournament. I don't think Indiana's goals as a program are to be a dark horse, you know, Big Ten tournament team, because they won four in a row at the end of the year. But for this team, it's certainly a heck of a lot better than where they were 2 weeks ago. And so I give them credit for that. It's been fun to watch. I'm happy to see them end the regular season on a high note. And hey, let's go make some noise and see what happens next week at the Big Ten tournament. All right, that'll do it for us on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. Don't forget to go to assemblycall.com. That's where you can sign up for our free Substack email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. Special thank you to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening. We will be back to talk IU hoops again with you Thursday after that Big Ten tournament game. Until then.
Take it from me, Anthony Leal. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I think they've gotten enough show.
Enough show.
That was enough show.
That was enough show.
Hey, thanks to everybody for showing up and listening. You know, we do the pause for the senior speeches, so I know it's not right after the game. So it was great for you guys to stick around and wait for us.
Yeah, well, I mean, you always want to highlight that moment. It's such a special moment. It always is.
Oh, it's the right decision. Yeah, it's a great decision. It's just, you know, people, I do know that some people always text me, why aren't you guys on? I was like, the senior speeches. They really need to put the senior speeches on Twitter. They need to put it everywhere.
If we can stream on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, why can't
how
they?
Can you not?
I don't understand that. I really don't.
Yeah.
I guess they're trying to build up their Facebook presence, maybe, which seems misguided in this day and age, but hey, that's okay. That is well, Ryan, when you fire everybody except for Signetti, then maybe you can hire someone.
Yeah, we need to
do the live stream.
Yes, we need to make changes to this athletic department, and that is number one. Your audio video is number one.
That's number one, huh?
So it looks like they're going to be the six, because Iowa's down like 16 to Illinois.
At what point in the game?
Second half. I mean,
so we'll probably be the six.
Oh, let's see. Did I read that wrong? No, it's 66-53 with 4 minutes left. So 13 points.
Nice.
They got it back to three, and Iowa got it back to three, and then it got pushed back out again.
So we'll see. We'll see how the week goes. We might do an episode between now and then if there's, you know.
Will that be Thursday or it'll be Thursday?
It'll be Thursday. It opens Wednesday.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
Thursday night. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
You're traveling on Thursday?
Yes. I should be fine by the evening, though. So, I won't be at home is the only problem. So, we'll talk about this off air, but we'll have to figure some other things out. So, anyway, thanks for being here, everybody.